Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
We're back. It's the Deadcast. I'm Drew. That's Roth. We're joined again by the lovely Patrick Redford. Redford, you flew home to California, then you flew back just for this session?
What's up, YouTubers? Welcome back to the Deadspin official Fortnite stream today. Get those hearts going. Roth's going to get his first kill. We did it.
This is too much energy. I can't do it.
I'm having coffee.
I like that. I want to repurpose Redford as a resident YouTuber. Like, just put you in van shoes and like straight pants.
I'll just do these amazing pranks where, like, I kick Samer in the balls, then make a face at the camera.
Classic prank. You got him. No one thought it was going to happen, and then there it was. Socking the dude.
No one expects it.
Yeah. You got pranked.
Just blogging all day, like, on a skateboard with a sideways baseball cap.
What's up? It's Patty Balls!
Boy! I forbid my kids from watching Logan Paul and Jake Paul and Chris Paul and all the Pauls. And there's you know what? I didn't measure it, but there's been a demonstrable improvement in their comportment ever since I banished YouTube.
Must be heartbreaking for a parent if your kid is Logang. You know, because you know some of it's on you.
You know what, though? Like, when I was a kid, it was like I watched Poison videos and I was like, it's going to rot your brain, which it did. Yep. But, you know. Like,
yeah, look at you now.
Yeah.
Like, every generation has something that scares the old generation. And for me, it's, you know, the guy who has 80 fucking Ferraris because he films vlogs of himself 20 minutes
a
fucking
day. Like, tripping an old guy or whatever.
Yo, check this out. I'm going to stab a nurse. Whoa, that was wild.
Get those hearts going.
What's up, YouTube? I'm hijacking this bus.
You smash that like button when I smash this guy's face in. Booyakasha.
We're off to a roaring start.
Yeah, it is.
By the way, this is a little bit of a shortened Deadcast. We're going just a mere 30 minutes. We were really close. You know, we've toyed with it. Roth, we've toyed with doing the All Borat podcast. Is weak to do?
I think we will crush it.
We will crash it.
I don't think that we should do the entire thing as a Borat podcast, but I do think that we can talk about Sacha Baron Cohen's new project, I guess.
Not much, only 1 hour. Only 2 years of podcast in voice.
I have a headline here from lifezet.com.
You are my friend?
This is under the PopZet vertical, not the Drain the Swamp or the Constitutional Freedoms verticals. Sacha Baron Cohen's sick prank on Sarah Palin might constitute stolen valor.
That's a crime, too. You can go to jail for stealing valor.
Is it a crime? I really don't know.
No, it's not a crime. It's a crime, like, in the sense that, like,
It might be a crime by the time this podcast posts.
Yeah, I was going to say.
We can't discount that.
That's true. This
but
will be a
you
week.
You cannot imitate police officer.
I am soldiered serve troop. Yeah, I don't think
that... I'm going to let you two have this
one. Yeah, no. But it does feel like one of those deals where it... I mean, I have enjoyed the videos of people getting confronted for stealing valor because it's always just like some kind of lumpy, bald 60-something guy wearing like just a dressed like Manuel Noriega.
Tactical
like,
cargo shorts.
Yeah, but then also like a bunch of medals pinned on, like fucking David Clark shit where you're just like, yeah, no, I served for sure. Like I served my country with pride in Grenada. We lost a lot of great guys there, but some actual hard-ass soldier type is like, hey, buddy, what's your, branch of service? And like getting the guy's face about it. Like there's something satisfying about that, but. It's not the sort of content I choose to seek out.
I remember I was watching the 2004 election, and it was at the convention. It was the GOP convention, and it was filled with your standard straw hat ghouls and dipshits and loafers and stuff. And like there were a lot of them that were wearing fake purple hearts because they were mocking John Kerry.
Yeah, the Band-Aids, like, right?
Yeah, the Band-Aids. And I remember being just pissed. I was like, God, fucking dick move.
Yeah, so. This is incredible. Well, whatever. I mean, this is the thing. Like, you keep...
So when Sasha steals Valor, I think it's very cute. But when
so it seems like what he did was disguise himself as an injured veteran and then get interviews with mostly conservative but not entirely conservative politicians where he did classic Ali G pranks on them.
And yes, he had Dick Cheney sign a waterboard.
That's funny. Like, that's good. Yeah. That's humor speaking truth to power.
That's also like...
And when Sarah Palin says, yep, we were duped. Americans should feel nothing but intense glowing pride and perhaps a little shame that it took this British guy to do something like this.
Yeah, like, I think duping Sarah Palin is every American's patriotic duty. Like, she should be constantly getting, like, swindled out of things.
Yeah, I mean, making her mad enough to pop off, like, a 400-word Facebook post is really, I mean, to me, that makes you a troop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though it seems very easy, too, at the same time.
Yeah. She did. She wrote on Facebook, yep, we were duped. You got me, Sash. I feel better now. And she said that he dressed up as a disabled U.S. veteran with a fake wheelchair. And she said, I sat through a long interview full of Hollywoodisms, disrespect, and sarcasm. What is Hollywoodism? Roth, can you parse that term?
Hollywoodism is like the same thing as it's like when you're vegan, but also you talk about juicing a lot. Like, you don't just do it; like, you talk about it a lot. I have no idea what she means. I mean, like, does it mean Jew stuff?
It's probably some either that or like some deep QAnon shit that we need like 3 weeks of just deep fried racist Facebook memes to really understand. And I'm getting
a hint of Jew in here.
Yeah, there's a bit of it.
She calls him shallow Sacha boy.
Oh God! So everybody has to fucking talk like Trump now. That's the way that you show that you're loyal to him is you come up with dumbass nicknames for people. That is crazy.
There's also like, you know, that sort of, well, Hollywood's hypocritical because they're racist and sexist too, which is actually true. But like, so Hollywoodism sort of implies that like the limousine liberal hypocrisy. I think
when somebody goes to the trouble of putting on a bunch of makeup and getting you to sit down across from them and then makes you look like an asshole, at that point, that's not like limousine liberalism. They're doing the work. That is some shoe leather liberalism.
You've been owned well and truly.
Yeah. Sorry, Sarah.
Do you think this will be his comeback? Do you think now she's given him the nice little boost? Because I still believe he's actually like as many, and we've said this before, as many ironic Borat jokes as there are on Twitter. Like, I still think he's a very funny, talented man. So I see no reason why this show couldn't be good.
Borat is basically the most I've laughed at a movie in the theater in my life, and that doesn't mean that I imagine it holds up. I don't really want to watch it again. I don't think, but it was. Incredible. I just think that there was a point of diminishing returns there in terms of, you know, mocking people, famous or not famous. But in this case, like this, it at least seems like he's picked the right targets. You know, like the idea of like the Bruno one or whatever, where he's like exposing that like fashion is actually glib and dumb or whatever. Like, that's not, you know, anyone that doesn't know that is. You know, not paying attention to fashion as much as we do.
Yeah, he's punching up, and the idea that he is. Disrespecting the troops is probably not going to hold up. But, I mean, because these are the targets he's picked, he is extremely going to get pilloried for this probably forever.
You're going to see that they're going to try to, like, whatever, Gamergate Showtime with it, I guess. But I think – I don't know. I don't think that I don't think those people have the juice anymore to do that stuff. I don't think that anybody really cares about what happens to Sarah Palin at this point. So good luck.
He's British, so he can just retreat back to England and be fine too.
Until he gets extradited for the stolen valor law of July 14th.
Yeah.
Which we all, you know, it was a great Twitter weekend we just had talking about that. It's fantastic.
Yep.
Yeah, they'll have ICE capture Isla Fisher and hold a ransom.
Part of the Omnibus Les Majesty Act. Be good.
Let's take a break, come back, we're going to open up the fun bag.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work.
Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We're back! Oh, it's time for a special summer fun bag. Do you feel so light, airy, a fun bag?
A sweaty Redford. Fun bag.
So, a nut sweaty fun bag.
I like the idea of it being something summery, something fun and flirty. It'll be great.
Oh, yeah, just sort of swishy and fun and good.
Let's do it.
Dane writes in, we know Trump can swing a golf club. What is the most athletic act he can successfully compete? Can he shoot a proper jump shot? Can he make a free throw? Could he shoot a puck into a net without a goalie standing on ice skates? How interested would you be in a show where he attempts entry-level athletic skills, Patrick?
I think we might be setting the bar too high, and I would settle for watching him try to, you know, run.
Yeah, that would be great.
I think that would be fascinating.
Anything that him running would be incredible, like just trying to get that chunky backfield in motion, get his lower body motivated, I think would be fantastic. I think he probably can shoot a jump shot. I would love to watch him stand in a batting cage with a helmet on and get some cuts. I think that would also be fantastic.
It would be like that Rob Ford video of him taking the snap, pulling it back, and then immediately just falling into the center of the earth.
Yeah, just looking like a potato that got dropped out of a helicopter. I think, certainly Trump doing something that involves using the lower half of his body in like a way that involves some coordination would be fantastic to me.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by the way he shakes people's hands because he sort of just goes in, clearly grips very hard, and the way he just constantly pumps, it makes me think that the light's on and no one's home, and he just enjoys the sensation of grabbing something very vigorously.
Yeah, the tennis photo is already legendary, so the tennis photo is just fantastic. So
thick butterscotch ass.
It's like a real sprint where he's wearing like the tearaway shorts, you know, the one like the slits
track
that go all the way up the sides.
Yeah. The tactical shades.
Yeah, like getting, he's still wearing the hat when he's getting in the blocks and stuff like that.
Of course.
Would like that. I think he can attempt a free throw. A jump shot, I think, might be a bit much.
Yeah,
right?
the verb jump there is
he's
be
not
a sticking
jump,
point.
But I think he can shoot a basketball. I would like to watch him play defense against somebody in a basketball setting, too.
It'd be like that Darren Revelle video, but somehow sadder.
Yeah.
I know he can shoot a basketball because he shot the paper towels in Puerto Rico.
Yeah,
he did. He had proper jump shot form when he was completely disgracing the entire nation by being a complete fuckhead to the island.
I don't know if it would bring people together, but I feel like if there was some scenario where Americans could cross over Donald Trump and score layups on him, I think that could improve our national morale.
When I am the communist premier of America, that is what this wounded nation will heal from.
Isn't there footage of him running? Because usually, when security escorts a politician out of somewhere, like they do that little shuffle run and it's really funny for like 5 seconds.
I don't think there's footage of him running. I would love to see it. But I can't imagine that he's really, like, he doesn't seem capable of it. There's a picture of him crawling out of a sand trap, and he's doing it the wrong way. He's going up the steep part, which is like considered rude. And it really just doesn't look like it. There's everything about it is wrong, like visually, aesthetically. There's like lumps in places where there's not supposed to be lumps. It looks like he's being poured down the hill instead of climbing up it. And I don't know. So I think that like other harder tasks would be. Oh, wait, here's a video. Oh, yeah, Patrick found one of him getting shuffled off stage.
Yeah, but his feet don't leave
the ground
at
all.
Time.
Yeah, it's like he's cross-country skiing off the stage.
He's like forward moonwalking.
Yep.
I'm going to say it again. I am so disappointed in America, which has the habit of building people up to knock them down, and yet there's a significant fraction of people that don't want to see him get knocked down. It would be so much fun.
Crossing him over while everybody yells like "Expose him!"
Yeah, it's very un-American to me that people wouldn't want him to like accidentally fall off a stage.
Yeah,
Well, the only thing more American than that is racism.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that one won.
Yeah, it's true. Aaron writes in, he says, Ruffled potato chips are the best kind of chip. Delicious in their plain salted states, amenable to a wide variety of flavor dust, sturdy enough to accommodate even the hardiest of dips. The crunch factor is in the top three of all chips. He says, other chips are good, even great, but Ruffled chips are the king. Patrick, what is the best potato chip shape?
Well, as a chip expert, I've thought about this a lot.
This dude loves chips, by the way.
In the potato division, he is correct, although the kettle chips do get a little too thick for my taste, and the crunch is more of a mouth stabby than something nice and easy like a Ruffles cheddar and sour cream, for example. But I think Aaron's correct here, especially if you're going to do some dips, because that's where you get the little furrows, where you can just get more tech. I mean, yeah, he's right. But in the tortilla category, triangles.
Yeah, I'm with you on the tortilla stuff. I'm not a big Ruffled chip person in general. I don't mind like Ruffles, like the brand. I ate a lot of those in my youth. But like things like the, as a shape, it makes sense. It's practical. I just don't have very many of them that I like. Like Sun chips to me have always tasted like they were made by like GlaxoSmithKline. Like they just don't have an appealing taste to me. I've never had a good experience with that.
Harvest cheddar though. It's good.
Next time we're together, man, we're going to eat some Sun chips and I'll confirm or deny that because everything that I've had from them, it tastes like some sort of – like a chip that is designed to also give you some sort of immune system boost.
Yeah.
I love the Sun chips because I'm like, it's multigrain. And then I eat 8 bags.
I would say those aren't Ruffled as much as corrugated, not to put too fine a point.
Oh, that's fair.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was going to ask you, do you like tight furrows? Like, because I believe Ruffled chips and wavy chips are a little different. So where do you stand on wavy chips?
Wait, describe a wavy chip to me. Like, give me an example.
Like it's fucking wavy. Like the furrows are farther apart. Like
it's the deep summer here, my friend.
Yeah.
Instead of like an Utz Ruffled chip where like they're really the ridges are really tight together, these are like wide swales. Almost
like a nice rolling valley kind of situation.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Which would you prefer?
I want the highest concentration of flavor dust possible. So give me like the tight little gutters.
Big furrow guy over here. This is the most that the word furrow has ever been said on this podcast and possibly any other podcast
as well. You know, it was such a good
word
for the ruffling when Patrick said it. I just latched on right away.
You guys are both doing a very good job describing chips. Not enough to make me want Sun chips, but I can really see them in my head now. Swales and furrows.
By the way, I think you guys are wrong on tortilla chips. I think that triangle is a fundamentally flawed.
What's better?
The circles? What do you?
The scoops.
Like a
I like the scoops.
Because you're a child and you don't know how to get salsa onto a chip otherwise.
That naturally occurring shape in nature we all love to know, the scoop.
Yeah. It's like a little taco salad bowl. You just over and over again.
I don't care. I'm not sitting there with a fucking bag of regular Tostitos being like, these are so natural. Just the most natural chip. Like,
but neither, I imagine, are you sitting there going, how do you use these things?
They're scabby. I mean? Like, they're... Kiefer Smithers, those sponges of corn, as you know. It's the wide end doesn't fit in my mouth. The pointy part does, but then the rest of the chip breaks. So I got to stuff the whole thing in. Then I got a fucking triangle in my mouth.
This sounds like a Drew problem, not a chip problem.
Yeah, I think the idea that like you actually are, like you open a bag and you're like, oh, these fucking things. What even do you do with this?
The pointy end? Yeah. What?
Is this a knife and fork deal? Like, what are we doing here?
I'm just saying it can get trapped in your throat. It's very dangerous.
Just chew better. Not to tell you what to do, but
it's very dangerous. So scary.
I like that you're leaning into like in the direction of a Jerky Boys voice here. Do we want to go all the way? Do you want to do that? Do you going to bring all your shoes and glasses so you can have them?
Yeah. just every bad borrowed impression. Well, just do. That's right, tough guy.
So I had a nice moment online after this. Of course, was some time ago when this podcast aired, when Donald Trump was successfully prank called by stuttering John Melendez for like 10 minutes, which is a nice moment. Again, lost to time, like tears and rain. There's been so many terrible, stupid other things that have happened since then. I made the only type of Jerky Boys joke there is to make, which is a dumb one on Twitter. And Jerky Boys Twitter is real. It's strong, and it is my friend. There were, like, dozens of people coming in being like, hey, Sizzle Chest, people I didn't even know. They're out there. They care about
it. Oh, yeah. I knew. I responded.
Yeah, you, Zach Lowe, some real high-profile members of Jerky Boys Twitter.
I'm going to bring all my glasses so that I have them. If you're, like, if you're 40, there's that album and the first Adam Sandler album, and that's Like you have them memorized.
Yeah, they have Patrick probably just showed me that he's looked them up on Wikipedia. We have a teen with us. It's different for him.
I love and respect the whatever you call them, the jerky boys.
The jerk boys. Who are these guys?
The junk pals?
The junky lads.
I closed the tab. I can't remember.
Yeah, it's all right.
Remember when crank calling was a thing? You can't crank call anybody anymore.
Yeah.
Because you can't.
Nobody answers their phones.
It was, well, this is an undisclosed number. Well, I'll just pick this up and play along with whoever's calling. It might be a puppet on the other end, voiced by Adam
Egyptian,
Carolla.
It's an Egyptian magician.
Yeah. Where is my refrigerator?
It's a lost art. It's gone. It's gone forever. It's very sad. Jack writes in, I know the answer to this question, but I'm going to pose it to Redford. In the age of embarrassing spinelessness from NFL owners, there are a few things I wish more than that Al Davis was still alive. Al was a lot of things. By the end of his life, he was, well, we all know, but he was always a man who didn't discriminate. Support players having personalities and reveled in telling powerful people to fuck off. And I wish we could have seen Al Davis's response to Trump in all its glory and fury. Redford, if Al Davis was still alive, do you think he would have reacted to Trump? I have my answer, but I'm not going to.
I'm no Al Davis expert, but is all that stuff Jack said true?
It's more true than it is for most other NFL owners, and I think he's been graded on a curve as a result.
I kind of think that if you're just a rich old guy, you see a lot of yourself in someone like Donald Trump. And I really would hesitate to think that Al Davis would stand up to him in any meaningful way. But Drew, I know you're chomping at the bit. Am I wrong?
No, I think you're right. I don't think Al Davis would have said fuck all. Because I think he would have gone golfing with Trump. Like, that's my kind of asshole.
I wonder if he would have though, because I think not because of any like political commitment or whatever, but I think that like Trump is for rubes, right? Like I'm not trying to be like a snob about it or whatever, but like he's a con man and people believe the things that he says that aren't true because right. They're either unsophisticated enough or motivated enough to believe them for whatever reason. I don't think that Al Davis would have fallen for that shit. Although it does seem like a lot of other NFL owners, like some of them seem like authentically stupid people. Like Bob McNair seems like a guy that has somebody tie his shoes for him. You know, that there's like people that kind of can't function. But I think
he has chronic rich person brain.
Yes. But I think a lot of them thought that like that they were in on the joke somehow. That like they weren't supporting Trump because they're like somebody that believes he's going to bring the steel mill jobs back. They were doing it because he was like a member of the same club as them. And then it turns out that of course is not the case either.
Yeah. He seemed more Trump-like to me than like, you know, I think Trump sort of has that phony pride in being a renegade, and I know Al did. And Al had more of a legitimate resume as a, you know, rich guy maverick.
Person
I'm rolling my fucking eyes at that.
Yeah, it does seem like the sort of thing where they're both the same type of guy that, like, you confuse everyone thinking you're an asshole for you, like, just being too far ahead of the pack or whatever. Like, sometimes people will just correctly identify assholes and are like, oh, well, I see that guy right there. That's an asshole. And I don't know, maybe that's the one thing they had in common, but.
And by the way, Al did not die before Roger Goodell took over. Roger Goodell was there and he could have, you know, he could have told Goodell to fuck off publicly.
Kind of did though, didn't he? Well, he was like,
did he?
I think he was pretty spicy with Goodell relative to, I mean, by the end, like end stage, Al Davis was a bummer. Like it was just like his commitment to having good punters and kickers remained and that I respected, but the rest of it was him just like, drafting fast guys that he like.
Yeah, the Darius Hayward Bay selection sticks in my mind.
Stanford.
He was a pile of old Band-Aids in the luxury box.
It seems like the, what if the Crypt Keeper was like much wealthier? Yes, there it is.
We'll have a real cool time. I'm trying to think of a bad Derek Carr pun and yet I can't even. Don't even had it.
Yeah, it's all right. It's been, it's a long summer. We got plenty of, we're going to do, obviously, as fans know, the full Crypt Keeper show where both Drew and I speak entirely in Crypt Keeper voices for an hour and 15 minutes. Like, that's coming up. You don't want to waste all of that.
Actually, Barry wanted an entire Crypt Keeper section of the Jamboree. He wanted the Crypt Keeper to do the picks. So it was be like, Deus of the Crypt. The Tennessee Frightens.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that'll play. We'll do that.
Sure.
We'll take a break. We'll come right back.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Melissa Kirsch, editor-in-chief of Lifehacker.
And I'm Alice Bradley, Lifehacker's deputy editor.
And we're the hosts of Lifehacker's podcast, The Upgrade. On The Upgrade, we help you improve your life 1 week at a time. We talk to guests like former hacker Hector Monsegur about online security.
You need to be aware of how you could be attacked. You need to be aware of what's your weakness.
And Alan Alda on how to communicate more effectively.
And in order to achieve that, we start with teaching exercises derived from improvisation.
And sex therapist Steven Snyder about how to have great sex in a long-term relationship.
What really works under those circumstances is if you enjoy the other person selfishly.
Hey, your life? It's terrible. We can help.
Find The Upgrade wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back. Here's Ray for the home stretch. Redford, Kevin writes in what sport do the athletes fart most frequently during the course of play? My gut instinct is that it's tennis players with twitch reflexes and quick moments of full body exertion. Perhaps they're grunting loudly to cover up that noise. Who farts the most during play?
I'm going to say on volume cyclists because they're on their bikes for about 6 hours. There's no, you know, on-court mics or anything that's going to catch them ripping one. And they're eating just constantly, and it's kind of weird stuff. It's like Clif Bars, you know, bananas, Coca-Cola,
oh, wow.
Just strange shit constantly. And I just kind of think something's going to happen there.
Yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense, too. I assume they're also very highly caffeinated. Is that a thing?
Yeah. I mean, the beverage of choice is those little mini 6-ounce Coca-Colas, and they'll just chug those constantly.
And then they're pounding, like, nuts. Yeah, I would not have thought of it because I don't think of cycling. This is a layup. It's the people that eat like that. Like, I was going to say, like, linemen in football, just because they're, like, big, beefy boys that are, like, crouched over with their asses sticking out for an entire day. And they also presumably have to eat weirdly. But, like, man, being, like, eating and exerting at the same time while you got your lower body doing all kinds of stuff, that seems – I don't want to know more about cyclists farting, but I'm also I would love to know more about cyclists farting.
What about distance runners? Because they're doing the same thing, but they're sort of bouncing, you know,
yeah.
and they're eating like Gatorade fiber goop.
Yeah,
like
weird
along the way.
Gels. That can't be fun for anybody.
I just don't think you have that much in your system when you're actually running. Because when I ran a long time ago, yeah, I would try to eat a lot about 4 hours and take the pre-race dump, and so you're basically just cleaned out by the time you're up there.
So you were more serious about running than me. I was just like, I did not let...
You did not time anything?
I did not let being on the cross-country team interrupt my sandwich schedule, which was, you know, a dumb decision that I paid a price for a couple times, but it was, you know, I stand by it. I was living my truth.
By the way, I know it's not really technically a sport, but, you know, yoga farts have to be mentioned in here somewhere because it's like you're in weird poses, you're commanded to relax as much as possible.
While also flexing every muscle in your core.
It's also tough because that's one you have to, like, live with. Like, with a lot of this stuff, you know, with, like, cycling or whatever, like, you can pretty much do whatever you want. It's gone. That's the next guy's problem, you know? Whereas with yoga, you're doing it, everybody else is kind of there, and you're in, like, you know, whatever, the 20th minute of a 45-minute class.
Yeah, if it's in like some Bikram studio where it's like 110 degrees and it's like a fart factory. It's
hot,
like,
boxing the shit. I like it.
What athletes have the worst farts, do you think? And why is it bodybuilders?
That protein powder, man, it's got to go somewhere.
Muscle milk. Yeah, that is by the way, of all the names of products, I think Muscle Milk is maybe the one I hate the most. It's just disgusting. Like the combination of the what it's for, what it sounds like, just saying it out loud. Milk is not a pleasant thing to say out loud.
Milk.
Just in general, yeah.
Juicy milk.
Ugh. Yeah, we've talked about it. So they got you up to speed on the juicy thing?
I was told to say the word juicy.
I don't like
as much as possible.
Well, but I don't like it. So why would they tell you to say it?
At least I waited an hour and a half.
You don't like the word juicy?
I don't mind the word juicy when it refers to fruits. I don't like juicy when it refers to like gossip or like, let me get that juicy, the juicy goss. I don't like
that. What about turd?
You know what? You can't.
There he is.
What are you going to do?
big juicy fart. You don't like juicy gossip? That's why? Does it seem childish?
No, I don't have a problem with I don't mind. If you've got some juicy gossip, I hope you'll dish. I hope you'll dish with me right now.
Dish the juicy gossip?
Yes, dish it. Pour the tea. But I would also say that I would appreciate it if you didn't refer to it as juicy gossip. I don't mind the concept. I just don't like the idea
of juicy gossip.
Yeah, of a non. Yeah, Patrick, exactly. That's exactly right. Of a non-edible, consumable thing being juicy is not appealing to me.
No, but like it's the idea is that gossip is saturated and ready to burst. It's juicy.
Roth just stood up and made a.
Yeah, face. So I just wanted to. I'm familiar.
Juicy, 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 juicy.
Yeah. All right, good. Sounds good, man. Yeah. All right. Well, I changed my mind now. I feel different.
Did you ever buy Juicy Juice as a child?
This show is produced by.
Yes, I did. I've had my share of Juicy Juice in my life. It's not that good. It's also Juicy Juice is another truth in advertising name too, because it's like it's juice that has slightly more juice in it than the competitors. So that's,
it's so true.
Yeah, it's like a 19% juice product.
It's true. There was a New York Times article saying that juice was evil, and I agree. It's flat
it's soda.
Yeah. By the way, no, best laugh I ever got out of a crowd ever in my life and ever will. Someone asked me at some school what my favorite and least favorite word was. And I said my favorite was the F-bomb. And I said everyone's least favorite word is moist. And the whole audience laughed their asses off because apparently moist is just everyone's most despised word.
Yeah.
People fucking hate that word.
Moist is not a great word. I don't have as much of a problem with it again, but that's another thing that I guess I don't really enjoy it being applied to food.
Non-cake items?
Yeah, like cake should be.
I don't want moist gossip either, for the record.
Oh boy. Give me that damp stuff.
My wife hates moist and she hates chunks. And I really truly have to avoid saying chunks. And
Which person in your life doesn't like that?
Oh, I'm sorry. My wife.
There you go. That's good.
It'll say it right on the, like, it'll say pineapple chunks on the can or like mango chunks. And I'll be like, hey, I got some mango pieces.
Lump.
Mango stuff.
Yeah, I got some, these are some fruit nubs. Yeah, it's not good.
I got mango parts.
Meal is not a good word. Meal to describe a meal. It is like, it's the word you use, but it's the sort of thing where like it's, you know, one of the best experiences you can have. You sit down, eat some food with some people. It's a great time. And the word for it is meal.
It's a worm.
Yeah, right. Mm. It doesn't, I don't know.
I concur with that. Yeah,
that's 20 more minutes word. Of this. Let's do it.
No, we're almost done.
I know. I got a million of them. It's the only problem. It's my curse.
He hates so many things.
I'm going to make Roth comfortable, okay? I'm going to make him. What? Oh, Ben writes in, does Trump ever have to worry about charging his own phone? Constantly searching for a charger at home, work, my car. He's been using his phone 10 times more than I do, so I like to think he's constantly looking for an outlet to charge his phone.
I think that he is constantly handing it to people to charge for him and that they're like super highly trained Secret Service guys that don't appreciate it very much. Like guys that have like served their country for decades and he's like, I'm at 17% and just hands it to them and doesn't look at them. Like that seems like a perfectly Trumpian way to get your phone charged.
Yeah, maybe he has one of those like tactical military battery tower things that can charge your phone for 3 weeks, and it's just constantly plugged into that on his desk.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, there's definitely the chance that he operates at 100%.
Yeah, it's the best percentage. I mean, why would you be anywhere else?
I could see him always operating at 10% and like handing it over, but then getting so impatient that it only gets up to like 15% before he unplugs it.
Sounds about right, too.
This is all taking place at like 6:45 a.m.
Yeah, just completely alone except for like the manservants that he has around.
It would be amazing if he was like crouched by like a bathroom outlet like at 4 a.m. because he's out of juice, so he has to keep it tethered while he's tweeting.
Are there a lot of photos of him mushing his little Vienna sausage hands onto a phone, like sending a text or a tweet? Are there pictures of him doing that? I bet a phone would look hilarious in his hands.
It is kind of weird that you don't see that. It's almost like it's a rule. By the way, there was something I read.
It's because it's
and it was
super
apparently
undignified.
Some rumor where Prince Charles went on I think it was a Great British Bake Off, but he didn't eat. Oh no, he went on MasterChef and he didn't eat anything. And it was apparently because there was some sort of unofficial royal rule that they're not allowed to be seen photographed eating.
Because it's undignified. I'm also laughing because Patrick has found some photos of Trump on his phone and he's doing the thing where he sticks his lower teeth out and he's just got one finger and he's just poking the
phone. You really have to he's kind of holding it weirdly far away, like he's concentrating on each letter.
Again, because he can't see.
Because he can't see!
He can't see. It's also incredible, like, just judging by the form that he's displaying there, it has to take him like 15 minutes to type investigate with a question mark at the end of it.
I really recommend for everyone the Google image search of just Trump phone.
Yeah.
It's oddly satisfying.
Remarkable.
That really is. That's a great old man pose. that's very standard old man phone use.
Moving
pose.
The phone like back, like in and out to like see if it like clears it up.
How you work this crazy thing?
My screen's on the fritz.
Yeah. Peggy! You know, just very... gentlemen, this was a fine miniature podcast. Patrick Redford, you were a true braveheart for joining us. Roth, you were.
I know. I know what I am.
Can't win them all.
Yep. Hey.
This juicy, juicy show was produced by Daria Mora. Our executive director of audio is Manjana Mathidi. We featured music by Corbin Hayes. The episode was mixed by Jamie Colazzi. If a question you want to send us, send a voice note or email to deadcast@deadspin.com or tweet us using the hashtag deadcast. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts, Panoply, NPR1, or wherever else you get your podcasts. Roth and Redford, we will see you again.
Thank you.
Neil.
Thank you. Hey, guys, guess what?
But
it's coming up!
Oh, my God. He seems to really... That wasn't even for broadcast. He means it.